Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. WordPress powers 27% of all websites. Get 15% off your new website at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. That's WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Square. Accept every card for the same rate and deposit your money fast with free chargeback protection, no commitment or hidden fees. Sign up now to get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. And by Bitbucket from Atlassian. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. So start your free account today at bitbucket.org/forthecode. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 316, recorded Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. We're your weekly source for this news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
What are you doing here in the studio?
And I'm here.
And what are you doing here in the studio?
I'm jet lagged.
I could tell.
You're jet lagged. I mean, I understand that you were in Iceland, but in all honesty, I just flew
in
today.
That's really fair. Yeah. That's fair.
I literally hit the ground at SFO, got in a car, and came right to Petaluma. That's how important the show was for me.
That's what I would do if I came to SFO. And even if I didn't work here, the first place I would go, get a car,
go to Petaluma. Exactly. Because I really needed to be in 97-degree weather.
Welcome to our world. Good to have you here in the studio.
It's great to be back.
Good to have you back. How was Green Iceland or Ice Greenland?
It was icy and cold, and I can't believe the stark contrast in weather that I am experiencing right now.
I know, right? Not only is it jet lag, but it's like weather lag.
Yes. Yeah. And, but I will say, so two of my friends got married in Iceland, and it was a beautiful ceremony, in front of a sort of hidden waterfall.
It was a really amazing
experience. We're all bonded for life now. So
excellent. That sounds fun.
Your mention of green made me realize that neither of you have looked at my shirt.
That's right. You're wearing the Sweet Treats shirt by Virginia Poltrak, friend of the show.
I am.
Friend of the show.
It's got all the...
Is Nougat on there?
Yes, Nougat is on there in the corner.
Stand up. I mean, this is important, right?
There we go. And the honeycomb.
Oh, there you go.
A little bee on it.
Yep. So, no inside tip on what O is.
No, apparently. No inside tip. But I wore this especially for this visit.
Oh. I wish I knew. I would have worn my matching gray one.
Oh, see, but I got the green one because it's committed.
Well, there you go. Welcoming back to the show, and I cannot believe it's been as long as apparently it has. Welcoming Kevin Grant back to the show. When you were on last time, I mean, first of all, it was probably like, I don't know. Ron was saying 2014. So
Gina was on the show.
Gina was on the show 3 years. I can't believe it's been that long. But you were with Tumblr, but you're not anymore. What's
time
going on,
flies. We had a parting of ways. No, I was at Tumblr for a really long time.
Yeah.
I really loved it. I learned a lot there, but about last year, April of last year, I came across a great new opportunity, actually, even with some of my former colleagues from Tumblr, at this new startup company that we just launched yesterday. So I'm really excited. I kind of talk a little bit about it today, and really just kind of excited to get back into the Android development scene and get back to kind of the roots of where it all like is really exciting, where you're building new apps and you're kind of throwing things against the wall and see what sticks.
Nice. And that is, of course, prefer.com. We're going to dive into kind of what you've been working on for the past year or two, year and a half, leading up to this launch that happened yesterday, congratulations.
Thank you.
I like that it launched yesterday. Like, it's got to be, I imagine you're probably deprived of sleep at this point, right?
A little bit. We've been working real hard, especially the last month or two, just like really trying to polish things up and get the right features in and kind of make sure it's production ready, because the last thing you want is to do a big launch and then login stops working or the website starts crashing. So I'm happy we launched, but now there's a whole new problem of now we have a lot more users than we had last week. So now we have a lot of support, taking it from there. It's fun.
Right on. So we were going to do things out of order, and then I realized, like, why? We're already talking about Prefer. Let's keep talking about Prefer and kind of tell people a little bit about it.
Yeah,
so,
we'll do the news after that.
We'll do the news after we talk to you about Prefer a little bit. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what Prefer is. What is the service?
So I'd like to start with just kind of describing Prefer is it's like a big network of small world connections. And what that really comes down to is it's an app for discovering professionals that your friends and your family may be using, but you don't quite have as easy access to them as you would like to have. So a great example is how often or how many times, maybe the answer is zero, have you asked your friends for recommendations? Say, do you have like a favorite dry cleaner you like using? Do you have a dog walker, maybe a babysitter? And what you're really looking for is you're looking for like a trusted referral. And you're not really going to Yelp, and you're not going to Google, and you're not going to, you know, not to name out competitors, but you're really, the key indicator is you're looking for trust, and you're looking for someone that your friends have already vetted for you. And so we try to take that idea of that trusted referral and turn it into a service that you can really tap into and use with your friends and your close network.
Nice. So I've got the app installed on my device. I'm assuming, you know, obviously it's on Android. I'm assuming it's also cross-platform. So you have it on iOS as of yesterday as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Cross-platform from launch. And I thought, you know, one of the things I really liked about working at Prefer and working with some of my former colleagues who are also from Tumblr is that we really find the value in having an Android app on day one and not treating Android like a second-class citizen like, you know, historically it has been. And we accomplish that by having real native Android developers, real native iOS developers, and collaborating together not only on features, but also on design to try and create something that feels at home in both apps.
I you can't see it right now. Well, now you can see it, Kevin, but like I got a little tear in my eye just then as you said that, and my heart got all flutter, and it's so great to see not only a product team, but a startup, you know, because it's so easy to make that justification that, listen, when you're in startup mode, it's better to, you know, to develop proof of concept on one platform, don't expend a lot of resources to do both things. Those are all the excuses we've heard all these years. And I've been saying for years that if you're going to launch on both platforms, give yourself the best foot forward. And clearly you're seeing the benefits of developing on Android and launching on Android. That's great to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly won't say that it's been easy or or even cost effective, but I think it's going to pay off, and I think it's already has paid off because, you know, when I can invite friends to my network and I can really share the app with whoever I want to. I think a lot of the complications come up with, and I used to have a much stronger opinion on this before, is, you know, what is that the design language between two different applications? And I would like to, maybe if you go back to the home tab,
yep,
and I can talk a little bit about this. So here it's really busy, and you know, I won't say that this is the perfect UX or the perfect design, but there's a lot of complications in designing an app for two platforms when you're trying to figure out what's going on. And so I'm sure even in everyone's head on the show right now, and everyone who's listening and watching online, you can think, you know, this kind of looks like a marketplace, and there's some analogies you could pull from Google Play. Like, why isn't there more elevation on some of the cards? Or why isn't there more depth to things? Like, how come it doesn't feel quite as material designy as you really could make it?
You've got the fab button down there, so at least you have, like, that's part of it. There's some material design touches here, but I see what you're saying.
Point. Yeah,
there's
depth.
A little bit, depth, yeah. Right.
I think it could go a lot further in one direction or the other. I think I was just looking at, really, if you guys have used Robinhood, I love that Robinhood app.
Yeah.
Really anyway, so, but, you know, as we develop the app and we continue down this path of trying to make it feel like a native Android app, you know, you end up making a lot of trade-offs that end up costing you a lot of time. So, for example, in the iOS app, they don't have a drawer, like on the left or in the top. And so we have a lot of, like things you can do in the drawer, like adding your credit cards, like checking out your communities. The iOS, conversely, has a Me tab, which is the fifth tab on the bottom instead. And, you know, early on, I made a decision to put a drawer in. Like, it was a little easier engineering-wise. But unfortunately, that kind of forces you to start changing your design language in a lot of different ways. Because now that you have this drawer on the top, like, now we almost need persistent search on the top. and the iOS app doesn't have persistent search. And so as soon as all these little design changes that you make, they start kind of cascading, and they force you to continue to make more and more design changes to differentiate the platforms a lot. It's really like, it sounds like a lot of jargon, but with the real world implications of this is that the support team that we have and the operations team that we have, and even the QA firm that we use, they have to write two sets of QA docs to test two different apps. They have to do two sets of support docs for all of our users. So the further we take the apps apart, it actually becomes harder as an operational standpoint to make it run. And so the conclusion of this long-winded rant is that I've learned a lot about working at a startup and like the trade-offs between being really true to the platform, but also being doing what's responsible for the time that you have.
So, Kevin, you talked a lot about the design of the app, which it looks awesome. But how do you use Prefer? Like, how is it maybe different from like Hair.com or Angie's List or any of those other, or even maybe the Facebook recommendation feature?
Or like Handy or,
Oh, that's a great point, and thanks for bringing me back to what the core value prop is instead of geeking out on Android design.
We love it all. Okay. We love it all.
This is all about Android, and all those things are related, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So one of the things we really like about Prefer, and the thing that really drew me to Prefer, is that there are a lot of things that these other apps like Care.com, Handy, Uber, these on-demand platforms, they do really well. I think Uber is a great example of, you know, the thing you really want most is you want a car to get there as fast as possible to take you to where you're going in the cheapest way possible.
Yes.
So on-demand works great for Uber. On-demand hasn't worked so well for a lot of other platforms where, you know, you don't necessarily want the cheapest and closest babysitter, for example. Or maybe you want the cheapest and closest nanny. Like, at some level, like cheapest and closest is not the criteria that you're vetting for. And so what Prefer is kind of, instead of trying to create an on-demand platform that's delivering you the cheapest and closest and, you know, most commoditized version of something, we're trying to foster relationships between service professionals and the clients who use them. So we want to make sure that if you have a house cleaner that you like, that you can have a relationship with that house cleaner as long as you want. And really, like, Prefer is not trying to match you with a house cleaner. Prefer is just trying to facilitate this relationship and let that house cleaner run the business that he or she wants to run. So they can set their own prices, they can set their own schedule, because at the end of the day, Prefer is just helping professionals manage their relationships. And we're not trying to commoditize them. We think that the commoditization of workers in this gig economy is really not scalable. And a lot of people working in the gig economy are just not, it's just not delivering on what it promised. And we want to make sure that everyone has a fair chance and has a chance to run their business how they want to.
So it's less about finding people to do the services and more about leaning on your social network to recommend the service providers that they like. So I know that, you know, if there's a house cleaner that Jason uses, Jason has given them a good reference, and so I go, okay, I trust Jason, so therefore I trust this house cleaner. Is that basically the gist? Or?
Yeah, totally. And I don't know how much bandwidth you guys have in your lives to search for the best house cleaner or for the best dog.
Well, I will tell you, Kevin, that for the last, 6 months, I've been searching for a house cleaner. But I live in a small town, so it's a little, like, we find things a little differently in the small town. I mean, I can literally call somebody. And I did. I finally broke down and I said, I just need to call somebody and ask them. Which, why didn't I do that before? Because I wanted convenience of not having to talk to a person. It's terrible. The more I'm talking about this, the more I sound like terrible. But
the world
because I'm so used to booking everything online clicking through. I don't want to like call a phone number, but that's what I ended up doing and I'm happy. But I'm so happy with the person providing the services, it'd be nice to have a way to boost her visibility to others.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, besides just word of mouth. So this is very curious for me because I'm definitely one of those people that's like, I need to hire someone to do a little thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think we see a lot of that, right? Like, I have a lot of professionals that I could probably recommend to you guys. Like, I have a great guy who does my taxes. I've worked with this great massage therapist now since we've been working on this.
I could use one of those.
You're not, like, individually, you guys aren't going to ask me, like, hey, Kevin, do you have a tax guy?
Like, out of nowhere, like, like, hey.
But it's kind of nice to know that, like, if you wanted to browse my referrals and we're close friends, that you could see that I do have a tax guy. And actually, I have a someone who helps me with travel planning, and I have someone who helps, the massage therapist. So it's kind of nice to be able to share these referrals and boost their business and really create this great community of professional services that actually, you know, help create sustainable jobs and sustainable relationships.
How do you feel your time at Tumblr prepared you for, because I have to imagine the environment and kind of process around developing for Tumblr for as long as you did in your history as doing what you do. Like, how did that prepare you for this kind of switch to go back into kind of the startup world, you know, working with the teams that are creating for iOS, building it from the ground up? How did that prepare you for that experience?
That's a great question. I think everything I have right now is really, I can attribute to, you know, the opportunities that Tumblr afforded me. So I'm really grateful for them. And a lot of my friends still work there. And as I said, we have a few Tumblr employees here at Prefer as well. So we have a very close-knit family, which I really cherish. But I would say on the engineering side, Tumblr gave us a lot of freedom to pay attention to detail in a lot of environments where you wouldn't otherwise be able to. And last time I was on the show, I was touting different design things. I had spoken at South by Southwest on design and animations. And so really, Tumblr gave you the freedom and the ability to explore and to test, like, different UX, different UI, a lot of animations, and really just polish things the way that they needed to be polished, which not everyone gets that opportunity, and I'm really grateful I had that. And after a couple of years, I graduated from the engineering team into management and product management. And so I was the engineering manager for a couple product teams at Tumblr, and also product manager for a couple product teams at Tumblr. And that gave me a really different insight into what it is like to manage people and to manage teams and to manage products. And I really liked, as engineering gave me the ability to pay attention to detail at Tumblr, really the management side of Tumblr gave me the ability to have attention to process, something that I never really, process is kind of there to get in the way. Like, you file tickets and you have to fix the bugs and you have to say how many bugs you fix, all this process, it kind of feels like it's for nothing. And I think being able to manage some teams and seeing where that process ends up, like, process for process's sake is kind of wasteful, but there is meaningful process. And I'm really glad that I was able to see what meaningful process actually was. And then I can take both of those ends of the spectrum between the engineering and the management and apply it now to a brand new company, we're kind of molding out of nothing. And so we can take all the lessons we learned and create something new and create it the right way. And I really like, we have a very mature team, we have a very experienced team, and so we are all being able to take these experiences that we've gathered from all of our previous adventures and apply it now to this new venture, which is really great.
Nice.
Hey, as someone who's been in a similar position to that, I know how fun and exciting that can be, so that's awesome. So I might be in studio, but I actually live in New York now, so I can benefit from Prefer because it launched in the New York City metro area. But what is the plan to roll out to other markets? Will Jason and Flo be able to use it in the Bay Area soon? And how do you guys manage that growth? I mean, I imagine you're probably, the idea of rolling out to one market allows you to control it and see how people use it and then refine and change before you get an influx of tons of users. What's the growth plan?
You should join the operations team, prefer.com/jobs.
Maybe.
I think you're right on the money, is that where I don't even want to pretend to give a date for San Francisco or any other city. And that's the idea, is that we want to really refine our go-to-market strategy and really create a valuable product in New York, because it's a very dense network product that you're getting referrals from friends for services that you could potentially use in your neighborhood. We want to make sure that it works, and that, like, that value proposition of getting referrals from your friends is actually, people are using it, and that they're sharing them with their friends. They're actually booking with professionals. They're making payments. And kind of just running the gamut of the features that we've developed over the last year, and just making sure that everything, well, either works how we think it does, or we pivot to make sure it does. And as soon as we have what we feel like is product market fit, then we'll come up with our playbook to roll out in the next city. And I think that's going to be a really exciting part, is that when we finally have that product market fit, or we feel pretty confident that we have it, and tipping a new city is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Product market fit is that's the golden point. That's where you want to get to. You want to, you know, that's when you really, you take your hypothesis and actually connect with users, and that adventure to see how they actually use it is fascinating. So I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah,
it is really fun, because I feel what's been great about working at Preferred is we have a stellar team. And I know, like, people say, oh, we have a great team. And I'm just going to also say that we have a great team. But we have a solid engineering team. And what I love is that we have this great engineering team that's building, you know, both platforms, three platforms, web, Android, iOS, with all of our backend development. And that everything we develop isn't just going into a hole or we're thrown against a wall, because we have a great operations team that is like cold calling service professionals and holding events for clients to connect them with each other. You're really trying to bootstrap this network and get pushing this rock uphill, essentially, until we can finally get enough density and enough value in there that it kind of tips itself. So I love all of these moving pieces happening at once.
Nice.
It's cool. It's like spinning plates. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's prefer.com. People want to find out more, just go to prefer.com. You can find it on, like Kevin said, Android, iOS, potentially moving out to other markets at some point. But right now, New York is what it's all about.
Yeah, I signed up for it. I'm going to give it a whirl. I know that, like, my girlfriend, for example, got a great referral from a friend for a physical therapist a while back. Like, that's the kind, this is the exact kind of mechanism,
right.
You know. So,
totally.
Yeah, so that's cool.
I'm signed in as Kevin, so I'm going to go ahead and order a whole bunch of services and really wreak havoc on his account. Actually, I'm going to sign out, and thank you for letting me sign in to show
up. And what's great, I'll just plug one last piece, is that it's not just for clients, right? There's two parts of it. So just kind of like a lot of these on-demand services, we do have a client application, like is the one that you just showed up, but we have a professional application for people who are providing services, which is also in the Google Play Store and on the Apple App Store. So if you provide services in New York City, like, sign up. It could be, you know, any service that you are already providing or that you feel like you would do a good job of providing. Sign up and let's see where it goes.
Cool. Nice. Do that.
I will be setting up as to provide my services setting up AV and hooking up TVs. No,
a shoulder to cry on,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, podcaster. Yeah, professional podcaster.
I'll come into your home and I'll podcast for you.
Yeah, I'll bring the mic. It'll be great.
Awesome stuff.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, I know, right? maybe there's a business there.
Yeah.
Cool. So obviously, Kevin, is here to talk a little bit about Prefer, which we have done. He's also going to join for the whole show and talk about all the other things. We have a lot of stuff we're going to cover today. Amazon's ejection of Underground, actually free or soon
ejection.
To be anyway.
Ejection. Dang, that's a really ejection. Powerful dun,
dun,
word.
Dun. John McAfee's, quote, most hack-proof phone.
What is going on?
I know. I Google John. Assistant SDK is going to rule the world. I don't know.
Whoa.
Now I'm just playing with it. And a whole lot more. Given Brian enough material to work with.
Brian's been waiting. Brian. I could see him. He's pacing. He's waiting for his moment. Brian, let's do the news.
If you prefer the top stories of the week, then be sure to listen to Android News.
I see what you did there.
He brought it when I'm back in the studio. I like it. He folded in the guest. It was great.
I like the energy of having Ron back in studio.
Yeah,
I missed it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Flo, you're up.
Well, if you are going to Google I.O., you should probably listen up, because Google's been really attempting to listen to you, especially if you went last year and you left a comment card, which I did, and I'm hoping you did too, because it's the responsible thing to do, really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, apparently this year at Google I.O., we're going to be able to reserve seats for certain...
Really?
For
so weird.
Certain
really?
Wow. Sessions and such. Like, you'll be able to reserve the seat. So not only can you see the schedule now, if you want to go kind of check out and see what you want to do while you're coming to Mountain View, you know, to enjoy Google Disneyland, as I like to call it. Now you can also reserve your seats, so it's kind of like a fast pass at Disneyland.
Well, it's kind of all... I find that interesting, because I saw you talking about it being Google Disneyland on Twitter, and I thought that was funny, because it shows an evolution, because it used to be Google Coachella.
Oh, that's true.
Right? So, okay. At least it's not Google Fire Festival, so that's good. But yeah.
No, Ja Rule's not involved in this.
But this is...
that we know of. He could be the performing act.
It's going to be in the Caribbean. They're going to fly us out there. They're going to give us meals.
Refugee tents. this is very much like the Alamo Kabuki movie theater kind of...
Oh, that's true.
Pick your seat kind of thing. I'm curious to see how this works because if people don't sit in their seats... Will other people fill it? Like I'm curious what the... It's kind of like Lord of the Flies, where like once you put a bunch of people in a social situation, what happens and how are they going
to... What will they do with the conch
Are they going to have ushers to enforce this or not?
Well, will be able to reserve... Okay, so first of all, the tents will be able to accommodate more people this year.
They're going to make them bigger.
So that'll... We shall see.
They'll be FEMA refugee tents.
They'll never be big enough.
And, you know, the question is, if you can reserve these seats across sessions at I.O., does that mean there's going to be a door person there checking names?
Usher who says, like, show me your ticket. Yeah, right. Like, that's weird.
How this is going to work.
And they said that they will keep seats open for walk-ins, which is also...
But those aren't going to be good seats.
At that point,
somebody's just happy to get in there
versus not
getting in there at all. Kevin, I'm assuming you've probably been to I.O. at least once in the past. Are you going this year?
I spaced out on the registration, so I'm not going this year. But I definitely went last year, and it was a real problem getting into all those sessions. It was wild. Yeah. You would wait in line even like for an hour. You would miss a whole different session. To still not get into
Comic-Con.
I was going to say, it sounds a lot
like
Comic-Con.
It was like waiting in line for Hall H.
It's like the advice I always give everybody going to Comic-Con, because I had a clip of like 10 plus years at San Diego Comic-Con. If you're going to Comic-Con, have your list of what you want to see and be prepared to see a quarter of it.
Or bring a friend to stay in line for the entire day.
And I feel like, even though I didn't go to Google I.O., I feel like that was a similar kind of experience. I wonder if this pre-registration aspect combats that. If you're a developer and there's a specific track you want to be on, can you imagine paying all this money to go to this conference and not being able to get into the tent for that track? I'm kind of glad they're doing this.
It was a little frustrating. I remember from last year, I had a really hard time when I left Google I.O. to justify like buying another ticket on the company's credit card for this year for that exact reason.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Well,
how do you feel, Flo?
I'm not okay? I'm very curious to see how it's going to work with the press.
Yeah, there's the big question.
Because I don't want to be that person to take your seat. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Stop looking at me like that. I already feel really bad.
Because that's
the question.
This isn't a press event.
It's not. No.
Right?
No.
Yeah, it's for developers, so those seats should go to the developers.
No, you know? I agree. I mean,
that's mainly why I stopped going to Google I.O. I mean, I went to this couple of the early Google I.O.s when I was still in San Francisco. I was like, you know, I want to defer to the developers. I'm going to take the higher ground. I can watch along at home. It's fine.
I said that about Coachella. I'm going to let the young kids go, the people who want to, waste their money on things.
See, and I said that about Fire Festival, so.
You missed out on FEMA tents and bologna sandwiches.
Not even bologna. It was lettuce. No, it was lettuce and cheese.
Lettuce.
Oh, man. I love it. By the way, it's hard. I know that story's been in the zeitgeist.
I keep following it, too.
But it has everything. I'm fascinated by the duality, and we were talking about this in Slack, in my work Slack. I'm fascinated by the duality of the fact that people reading along hate both the attendees and the organizers.
It's
just like, oh, these rich millennials who wanted to go to this festival, and these organizers who ripped them off. It's so much Schadenfreude. I don't feel bad for anybody involved, and it's amazing.
It's the best thing to happen. It's the best tech drama to happen. It's only techie because it involved a startup dude, and like you could book it through an app. But anyway,
it's vaguely tech.
Also, you can book your seat through the Google I.O. app. So
cool. Well, we'll see how this goes. So
we'll see how it goes.
So Flo, you're going to I.O. Are you going?
Yeah.
So you guys will report from the field and tell us how this works.
Yeah. Apparently, we'll find out. I mean, based on the Android Central article, I think Jerry Hildenbrand wrote that up. It said that you need to get in there and book and mark on the online calendar which events you want to go to, and that might inform as to which events you will be given access to eventually. But there's nothing indicating that anywhere that I could find.
It's Flo's comparison to Fast Passes at Disney World. Right now,
please come back between 12 and 2 and we'll allow you to go to the front of the line.
Jeez. Well, well, good luck to all you going on.
Sorry, the Indiana Jones ride has broken down and you can no longer ride it. Always happens.
All right, well, you mentioned earlier about Amazon, so here's the skinny on this. So Amazon Underground, actually free, is ending as of sometime next year. Amazon didn't actually give a reason for the program's end, but developers can submit apps to be featured up until the end of May, and sometime this summer, access to the Underground store through the Amazon App Store app will cease. It will still function on devices that have it already installed, which is weird, and the program ends officially in 2019. Any free apps already installed on devices will continue to run. And it didn't mention if these would transfer to other devices, and we're assuming
I'm assuming no, yeah.
So this sounds like Amazon did an experiment, the results came back, and they shut it down. I mean, that's my guess to it, right?
Years. I don't know if it's a short, long-term experiment or a long, short-term experiment, but it was like 4 years long.
Yeah.
I guess in tech world, that's pretty long.
Oh my gosh, it's been 4 years since that happened.
It's been like 3.5, 4 years, something like that.
Hey, it comes pre-installed on a lot of phones,
It won't anymore.
But it won't anymore, so it's one less thing to worry about coming pre-installed on your new phone.
Yeah, did you ever use that, Kevin? I used it a handful of times, but you'd think that it would draw you in because it's, you know, free paid apps.
That's probably
It didn't. I don't know. Did you ever play around with that?
I never really got into it. I felt maybe just as a developer, just like someone in the ecosystem, it was just like, this is so complicated to explain to the average user that it's just, I can't imagine it taking off. You have to install like a separate app, and I guess it did come pre-installed on some phones, but never on a phone that I had. So I never had a real deep experience with it.
You had to really go jump through hoops to get it installed on your device. What's that?
I can say the worst part, or not the worst part. We had a version of the Tumblr app on the on the Amazon store for the Kindle store, which is kind of shares the same thing. And keeping that thing up to date, it's like an entirely separate Google Play store with a different console and a different way to upload. That was one of the worst parts of QAing and uploading for every release, is remembering to do the Amazon Fire app. Because we would forget to do it for like 2 months. We're like, oh yeah, I forgot to do that. Like, oops.
That's the thing. It's kind of the bigger question. Like, remember a couple of years ago, like we had, what was the other third part? Was it GetJar? GetJar. Yeah, GetJar.
Like, I forgot
GetJar. Is anybody getting apps from somewhere other than the Google Play Store? Like, you know, are there any solid APK?
APK mirror sometimes?
But that's to get, like, things that leak.
Writing about it, but that's about it.
Right.
GetJar is still around, right?
GetJar is still around.
I didn't actually know about GetJar until you guys just... Oh, it's Lithuanian.
Yeah.
I mean, there are legitimate third-party app
stores.
But who's using
them? Like, that's why, like
people don't have access to official.
Well, Amazon didn't exactly advertise it. They just bundled it in on phones and expected people to use it. And it's like, why do I have 7 Amazon apps on my phone?
They reimburse developers, but not on a download basis. So I would love to hear from developers who did this to see if it was an equitable relationship, because what they basically paid developers for wasn't the $3 equivalent that it would have normally sold for. It was based on how frequent it was used by that person. So if that person used it for an hour or whatever, they would pay the developer more than if that person less than that.
Is that happening now with Android? I could have sworn I'd remember...
Happening now with Android,
you'll get revenue based on how often somebody opens an app versus
like from the Play Store.
I don't know. Never mind. Sorry,
I'm
not
sure.
Y'all. I'm jet lagged and mixing my thoughts at the moment. Okay. Don't mind me.
You're still in Green Iceland. I say both because I get them two both confused.
Neither of them are green. They're both covered in ice and glaciers, and are cold.
Okay then. All right, we'll move it on. We want to thank our first sponsor.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so this episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. And we know that creating great things sometimes comes down to having the right support system. That's why we're so excited to have WordPress.com as a sponsor. We use WordPress.com every day, and let me tell you, whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, you'll make a big impact when you build your website on WordPress.com. And I can speak from experience that I am here today because of WordPress. WordPress has enabled so much of my career to happen, and it's just an amazing service. And WordPress.com makes it that much easier for you to use it. Even if you don't have experience building a website, WordPress can guide you through that process. They have hundreds of themes to get you started. Just pick a template and make it your own. You'll get a built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. And when you build your website on WordPress.com, you're part of a community with support 24/7 when you need it. Let me tell you, that community is great. I've gotten tons of answers, like trying to do stuff, trying to figure stuff out. That community's there. It's very rare that I run into a problem that someone else hasn't already had. And so, So it's nice to see that, to have that there to help you fix the problems you need to make your website as great as it could be. So come see why 27% of all websites run on WordPress and why more websites run on WordPress than any other platform. So get started today with a 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the membership plan that's right for you. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for your support and for making my website so awesome. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. All right. And without further ado, Brian, it's time for some hardware.
So excited. If there's any equivalent to the Fyre Festival in the tech sphere, it's anything John McAfee's related to.
I was gonna say, or Elon Musk.
I'll give Elon a little more credit than John McAfee. True. John McAfee is different straight worlds. Up wackadoo, but that's, anyway, tell
okay,
us.
Yeah, go on.
John McAfee, of course, creator of the popular antivirus program that shares his name. McAfee.
And also like the ruler of a Central America town.
Yes!
Like,
there's a whole lot of other reasons why he's notable.
He
has plans for the, quote, world's first truly private smartphone.
Yeah.
I feel like
hack-proof.
We've heard a lot of these.
Hack-proof.
Hack-proof, yes. He claims it to be the most hack-proof phone ever, called the Privacy Phone. So it's right there in the name. It includes, and this is new, a bank of switches on the back. Physical switches to allow for the physical disconnection of battery, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, geolocation, camera, and microphone.
Whoa, this is Edward Snowden's. This is Edward Snowden's phone right here.
No, this is like steampunk. Why do you need physical switches?
Because they say...
And goggles.
Some tinfoil hat wearing folks, and maybe some not wearing tinfoil hats, something a little more comfortable.
We don't all wear tinfoil
hats. We'll say that there is reason to believe that even when you, for example, think that your phone is entirely powered off, it is still possible for someone with a will and a way to get into your phone and extract
from it. They're called ghosts. That's who's doing it.
Oh, wow.
Like actual ghosts?
I can't say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. I'm totally kidding.
I was like, this is a terminology I didn't know.
Anyway.
If you can if you can actually break the physical switch, then it's like pulling the battery out of your phone entirely.
This is straight out of like 24. I love it.
Yeah. And if somebody's going to do it, it's
okay.
Be
so, what's the operating system on it, though?
Well, it's Android, of course.
Okay,
Android. It's here.
So the
it's
only
Android.
Reason it's the most secure is because you can like physically deactivate some hardware components.
That's part of it, yes. And that actually, if we
had modular
that,
phones,
secure,
right? This wouldn't be an issue. You could just pop out the freaking battery, and it's okay.
I suppose so,
Kevin. Where do you sit on the spectrum of tinfoil hatness? Are you worried about privacy on a daily basis?
Uh-oh, can't hear.
I feel like it's just a weird stance to take or a weird approach to take to the security. And I feel like, for better or for worse, we have no idea what's going on in these phones. Like, even in this phone, like, who knows what they're going to put in it? Like, what kind of backdoor deal, like they could have made with some government? I don't know. That sounds a little
Russia.
I think that's where like trust comes in, right? And I think that's why Apple's done a really good job of taking real hard public stances to make sure that it's like, hey, you don't know what's going on in these phones, but you can trust we've got your back. And that seems like a more like appropriate or like a more friendly way to go about this. It's like, hey, we're going to preserve your privacy to the best of our ability, and we'll do everything we can for that. But like giving people the ability to turn off like their Wi-Fi and stuff, it's like, come on. You clearly just don't trust who's making the phone to prevent that from happening.
Well, what's funny, what I'm torn with this, because either the fact that it's John McAfee either means that it's completely bonkers and out there, or maybe it's actually legit. Like, it's so crazy that I'm kind of
maybe he's making credit. A phone for himself, right, yeah, because exactly. He needs this yeah, kind of exactly. Security.
Because I don't know if you read that article in Wired about it, but it looked from a...
There's a movie ago. Being made about him. Do you know that?
It's no, it's crazy.
Johnny Depp is going to be John McAfee.
Oh, God, how fitting. I know. Don't get me started on him either. Yeah.
Anyways, Burke here at Twit is also in the chat room, and he summed it up nicely. He said, ironically, John McAfee completely corrupts this. Just the fact that it's John McAfee
exactly.
Involved
you
with
just,
this
you don't know. You don't know
you go,
what okay. Mafia it's connected yeah,
I
mean, to. Look,
I don't know if this is the exact article here, Brian. I got it. It's from Wired 2012, which I feel like is a long time ago. But yeah, the headline is John McAfee fed to Belize, but he couldn't escape himself. And there's a yes. Shot of
such
him.
A good headline.
There's a shot of him there with a gun a, to his head. Right?
There is a lot written about John McAfee and the deep end off of which he has jumped at different times of his life.
It's absolutely amazing, and the stuff you hear about, like he is a warlord in Belize or wherever he is in the Central America. Like it's how the lengths it's gone and. So the fact that he's building this phone to protect privacy, I think you agree, he's building a phone for himself that he finally can use, building his dream phone. It's just the kind of Howard Hughesian eccentric yes. Billionaire stuff that honestly, sign me up, I love.
Oh no, oh no, that means Leonardo DiCaprio is going to play him in a movie in 5 years, or maybe in that movie that's coming out.
The Aviator was really good.
Johnny Depp, I'm movie. Telling you, Johnny Depp is John McAfee.
Johnny Depp, that's actually good casting. That is I think actually that's good casting.
I think that'll be pretty interesting. $1,100, by the way, is what it's expected to cost.
Yes,
targeted at Enterprise or tinfoil hat wearers.
Well, it's for the Enterprise, and Hangouts will work on it.
Yeah, maybe. that's a big selling point.
Sounds like I need to read more on John McAfee.
Oh, dude,
interesting.
I'm telling you, Kevin, it is amazing. I went down a McAfee hole a couple of years ago, and it was just like this because you grew up. I mean, like you were two.
You grew up with a virus scanner on your computer.
It was either Norton or McAfee, right? And I happened to be a Norton person, but I knew McAfee existed, and I knew he was this guy, and then he disappeared, and then next thing I know, I'm reading all these headlines about how he's in Central America doing like warlord drug stuff, and it's just like.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy town.
It is so, crazy town.
I strongly recommend anybody read about it. I'm not going to spend $1,100 on this phone, but I love that it exists.
I'd love to review this phone.
Yeah. Yep.
Sign me up.
I love that I live in a world where this exists.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. You're up.
Well, last week, some exciting stuff happened while I was gone, as usually happens in the world, waits for me to leave. The Google Assistant SDK was announced last week, which will now enable you, the developers, to implement Assistant into your own hardware prototypes. This is awesome. And by the way, so not sort of related to this news item, but I Android Police did the little write-up today, is that now Google Home or Google Assistant works with a couple of more services.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
just
that.
Just a couple more extra ones, small ones, like iHome and the Samsung one, which I always forget the name
Smart
of.
Things?
It starts with an A.
No, it was already working with Smart Things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Arctic Cloud.
That's what it's called. Emberlight,
Leviton.
Yeah.
Here's a question about Google Assistant and Google Home and whatever that came up the other day that I don't have the answer for. So in the SDK, and I don't know, I could probably just research this, but can I build something that allows me to use the Assistant SDK to talk into the Google Home and record that audio? Like,
oh, that's a good question.
You know what I mean? Can I use the microphone in a Google Home, you know, to send you a voicemail or to, you know, like, I don't know. That's curious. Is it just all about talking to and responding, or is there something?
I think that's coming.
Yeah.
I feel like something like that's coming. Like, you can't send a message through Google Home, which is kind of a bummer because sometimes I'm rushing out of the house and I want to just like text my mom, and my phone is not doing that because my phone, I don't want it to activate at home.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can I tell you, just the other day I had to brainstorm in the house. I just walked in the house. I went, Google Home, whatever. OKG, turn on all the lights. And it did. And I was like, how come it took me 3 months to figure that out? Like, just to say, turn on all the lights, and it worked.
Yeah, instead of each one individually.
Yeah, because I'd say, turn on the living room light, turn on the bedroom light.
Oh, my gosh.
So now I realize you can say, turn on all lights. And then what's even funnier is that my girlfriend was away. She came home, and like the first thing I said when she came home, I'm like, oh, my God, watch this. And I said, turn on all the lights, and it did. She just looked at me, and she just nodded and walked out of the room.
These are the things that make
you were doing the digital equivalent of going to each light switch and turning
yes,
it on.
Exactly. Kevin, do you have a Google Home or an Amazon Echo or anything of those?
No. We have an Amazon Echo at home, and it's okay. We apparently don't use it to its full extent.
Well, Google Home's on sale for Mother's Day. Yeah. So,
perfect gift for mom.
Yeah. Is it? I'm still on the fence of basically whether.
Oh, come on. Just get one.
Wow, Flo. It's changed my life if it makes you feel
great.
Better.
It's great.
I think it's a game changer device. Admittedly,
it really is.
I don't have an Amazon Echo. So if you have one, like I got an Amazon Echo for my sister and my brother-in-law and their family because they're way tied into the Amazon thing.
Yeah.
But they seem to love it too. They found on the Amazon Echo that there's actually, if you say, sing Happy Birthday, Jason, or happy, they have a bunch of songs because you know how Happy Birthday is what they have a bunch of songs that are personalized to names, and they're different songs by different artists.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Wow. So if you say sing Happy Birthday, Jason, it will do the Happy Birthday, Jason song.
That reminds me of when I was a kid, I had one of those little flexi vinyl things.
I love
and
the flexi,
it was a Happy Birthday Jason song. Yeah. I wonder if it's that one.
But anyway,
sign me up.
I think the device is. It's. I mean, I use it every day. It's fantastic.
So sometimes it listens when it's not supposed to, and it'll reply when you're talking to yourself, which is always odd. But you know, it reminds me I'm not alone.
All right. We'll move it on. Google Assistant probably, most likely, would be able to run on Huawei's new HiKey 960 computer board that was developed alongside Google and is meant to be an out-of-the-box Android PC development board. This is super cool.
Wow.
This is actually up Brian's alley. It's backed by Linaro, who develops the software packages for Android OS. You can make drones, robots, smart devices, IoT devices, whatever you can dream of. Delivers performance on par with modern smartphones and tablets. And it's great for devs looking to test their apps. It includes an HDMI slot, 32 gig of storage, 3 gig of RAM. It's shipping in the US, the EU, and Japan this month, going worldwide later on for just $239. So this is pretty cool.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Raspberry Pi price, but it's got a lot. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah, it's a little mini Android computer.
Yeah,
this is great. I feel like even for myself, the entry barrier to Raspberry Pi is actually never really the price. Like, I feel like they're both priced reasonably well. Mm-hmm. The entry barrier is just like, do I want to learn a new programming language on the weekend so that I can maybe hook up a thing to a TV or turn on a fan or something?
That's true.
And so by the fact that it runs Android, like I have all these existing Android libraries that I can leverage and I can already just program in Java. So it lowers that entry barrier to like a hobbyist trying to do something, which I think is really compelling for me.
So what would you do with this, Kevin? What do you, I mean, anything, your heart, what does it desire?
What would I do? I think there's like really cool things that I would love to play with like NFC and like keeping my kitchen up to date and like maybe having certain things to just indicate better, like when my spices are low or when I want to set a timer. I don't know. I feel like I'm very like kitchen oriented right now. And so I would try to do something with that.
Oh, I kind of love that.
So Brian,
you need to get a Google Home if you're kitchen oriented. It's great in the kitchen.
It is.
Anyway. Brian, you're Mr. Know-how, and you guys do a lot of stuff with Raspberry Pi. Do you see yourself, you know, expanding out to use this board?
It depends. I mean, the $239 is a lot more expensive than a Raspberry Pi. So I mean, most of the projects that I'm interested in doing, the Raspberry Pi facilitates that fine, like the emulator stuff. Yeah. But if I were to try and dive into Android a little bit more and learn that, I could see that being a really great way to kind of develop for a platform.
Yeah, it'd be motivation to learn how to program an Android because you're also building the piece of hardware with the board, and it's kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, and one of the advantages that Raspberry Pi has for it is that there's a lot of different shields that you can buy for it, which are like the attachments that you can get. So if there's something that comes out for this, like a tablet screen or something, I could totally see you being able to buy this, put on a screen, make it touch capable, and then integrating that, maybe, you know, put some hooks into your Android phone or your Google Assistant and you know, some of the Google Wi-Fi home stuff.
Yeah, it'd be neat to make a NES emulator that's running Google Assistant.
Oh my gosh.
So as you're playing, you can say, "Okay, G, how do I win Metroid?"
Here, let me show you.
Yeah,
let Google speed play
run.
For you.
Yes, speed run.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Cool.
Well, the first step is making the board available, and now it's available. Let's see what people do with it. So,
So let us know what you would do with it.
Go and make. Go forth and make.
All right, let's thank the sponsor before we get to a bunch of your feedback. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Square. You know Square. It used to be really hard to accept credit cards all over the place. If you run your own business, you already know what I'm talking about. Merchant accounts, long applications, longer contracts. It all seems like a lot. That's because it can be. So Square created a mobile card reader with no long-term contract. You've seen them around. You've definitely used them. They're affordable. They're portable. So you never have to miss a sale. With Square, your business can accept Magstripe, chip cards, or phones from every major credit card for one simple rate. Square deposits your money super fast. It's 1 to 2 business days, even instantly if you actually need that. It's easy to use, reliable, and best of all, Square is super affordable. 2.75% per swipe, dip, or tap. 3.75% plus 15 cents per keyed-in transactions. Square will create custom pricing packages for businesses with annual revenues over $250,000 and an average ticket size over $15. You don't have to worry about hidden fees, penalties, or long-term commitments. With Square, you only pay for what you use. Plus, they've got your back with up to $250 a month in free chargeback protection for qualifying charges. You can check your sales on the Square dashboard using your PC or iOS app. The Square dashboard allows you to see historical and real-time sales data, track inventory, send marketing campaigns, create loyalty programs, and more. Square is simple, secure, and affordable, and you can jump in with ease super quick. Just ask anyone you know who uses it. They're going to tell you all about it and how easy it is to use. So sign up in minutes right now. Go to square.com/android and you'll get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. That's square.com/android, and we thank Square for their support. All right, we still don't have an email bumper.
We should get one.
Yeah.
Someday.
All right, so email.
There we go. We got a bunch of feedback.
It's so great to see so much feedback coming in from the audience. It's like, yeah, it's great. It's the two-way conversation thing. I love it. Our first email comes from Ankit, who says, last week, my longtime trusted friend, my Nexus 5, stopped working, and I knew it was time to say goodbye. Ankit, I feel you right there. I remember that. I held on to that Nexus 5 as long as I could.
Yes, you did.
he says, it was also the perfect time as the Samsung Galaxy S8 was available for pre-order. So I decided to take the plunge and step back in the Samsung ecosystem. My first and only other Samsung device was the Galaxy S2. I'm going to be honest, the hardware and the design were the primary drivers for my decision. I've always been skeptical about the software on Samsung devices, but this time they seem to have their act together. Everything looks simple and elegant. Well, almost perfect. Until about 4 days ago, 3 days into my use, when Bixby stopped working. Every time I press the button, all I see is a message saying, hello, Bixby has stopped. Which I like that it's polite. Hello, Bixby has stopped. I don't know if there was a recent update or if I'm the only one having the issue. I know it's a small issue that would probably be fixed soon, but I feel like this highlights the same Samsung way of doing things. They have big ideas to replace all of Google services, but in the rush, they seem to do things half-heartedly. Bixby is not even ready, and yet it has this annoying little button on the side, which at this point does nothing but remind me of its uselessness. So have you guys, has Bixby stopped working for you? Is this isolated, or
I mean,
I don't have an S8.
Depends on how you ask that question. Has Bixby stopped working for me?
Or did it ever work?
it stopped working for me because I never use it.
Yeah.
I mean, the button's there, and it's just I have to convince myself why I use it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I don't use it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never used it.
Well, like, I go into it every once in a while. I'll swipe over here. I can show you my Bixby. First of all, when you go into Bixby, if it does end up working, sometimes it takes a while to launch. So, like, you'll go over there and you have to wait like 5 seconds, which sounds like not much when I'm saying just 5 seconds. But when you want to jump into something, that's enough delay for you to just decide not to use it. But I don't know. It's like what I get when I use Google now, but not, I don't know, maybe I'm just not used to it. Or what? Like, I don't need themes for my phone. I don't know. It's just whatever.
It is launching in Korea.
It's just same, same, but different, you know?
Yeah.
The voice assistant is launching in Korea.
So they're rolling out
so
one
they
market.
So they are rolling
it
out.
Like Prefer in New York.
Yeah, and they always test things in Korea, which is the home market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a complete replacement for Google
assistant. It's supposed to be a
they try to take a complimentary, like, which is an interesting approach because, yeah, but
it's the same.
I will never buy a Samsung device for this reason alone. Like, the phones are very nice. They're very pretty. They're all this great stuff. Always that little, that something that makes me, reminds you that you're in the Samsung ecosystem, and I'm not buying it. I'm not on board, so.
Yeah,
Kevin, what do you think of the new Samsung phones? And also, ancillary question, what phone are you using as your daily driver these days?
Pixel XL. Yay. Best phone I've ever had. I say that every year with every phone that I get because I always choose the best phone. I feel the same way about the Samsung phone. Like, it's just it's a shame. I had the S6 Edge for a while, and it's a beautiful hardware. I love holding it. It looks great. But, like, I just want to flash it and put something else on it or swap out for the Google Home screen or something. It's just a shame that they don't do the Google Play Edition phones anymore. And I guess even those weren't perfect anyway.
Yeah. It's like everybody wanted them, and then we got them, and then no one ended up buying them, and then they went away.
Yeah, exactly. But
they, like, didn't get updates or something too, right?
Yeah. It wasn't as beautiful as I think everybody expected it would be, but...
But, like, as always, the S8's definitely the most beautiful-looking phone, and I feel like I hear time and time again that the camera is spectacular.
The camera is really nice.
Yeah.
Even though you smudge it with your fingertips because of the sensor.
Yeah, the fingerprint sensor. Although, I got to say, we're talking about before the show, because Flo is still recovering from covering the Samsung S8 launch, and I was saying, I can't believe how much ink it has gotten. It seems to have taken over our entire kind of thing. And even on this, I'm looking, the next two questions are all have the S8.
This is what people are talking about.
They're all talking Samsung.
Oh, and guess how many stories I'm writing this week about the S8.
I mean, when you look at, like, the distribution of actual, like, real popular Android apps, you know, is whether we want to admit it or not, like, Samsung dominates the market for Android phones. Like,
Samsung dominates the world. It's not just here. It's like, whenever I travel, majority is iPhone and Samsung phones.
Yep.
That's the depressing part as an Android developer, is knowing that, like, everyone develops, like, on these Nexus devices, and you try and make the best experience. I say everybody, it's actually probably not true. But, like, historically, like I have and a lot of my colleagues have, and you realize that most of what you're building ends up on a Samsung phone with, like, those hardware back buttons and the different screen ratios and things. So it's weird.
I mean, mostly, if anyone ever recognizes an Android phone that I'm using, it's a Samsung phone. Oh. Happened over the weekend. Someone was like, is that the new S8, the Galaxy S8? Wow, that's a really nice-looking phone. I've wanted to see it in person. People, it's on the radar. The Samsung devices are just on people's radar, and most of the other ones are not, at least here in the U.S. That's the way it is. But
this is... Sorry.
What? Everything okay?
This is completely off topic, but I just remembered, and I don't have the chat, so I can't link Brian, but I saw a incinerated Samsung device in a geothermal pool in Iceland.
What happened?
Did you take a picture of it? Or?
I did. It's on my Twitter feed, Brian. I don't know if you want to, like, go. I haven't really been tweeting much. But it was, and I think it was a GS4 or 5.
How does that happen?
I found it. Brian, I got it.
It's just slightly related, but just the Boom. Thing with everybody using Samsung phones. What do I see? Like, a major geothermal tourist trap is a completely melted. I think that's definitely a Samsung device.
No kidding.
Yeah, look. Somebody dropped it, and that water, by the way, is like 200 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So, that's done.
Anyway, sorry. That just reminded me of that because we were talking about everybody having Samsung phones.
They don't even need to wipe the data when they drop it in that pool.
Are you sure it's not a Note 7?
It created the thermal pool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Shall we move on?
All right, moving on. Gary, although it's spelled like Geary in San Francisco.
Like Gary, but spelled
the longest weird. Street in San Francisco, BT Dubs.
There you go. Gary wrote in. He says he is our bro droid. Says, I'm listening to Jason and Phil discuss the haptic home button on the Galaxy S8. This is from last week's episode, Phil Nickinson, Android Central, which Phil didn't seem to like. A function that it provides that's easy to dismiss is being able to press it from any full-screened app to immediately go home. Instead of swiping in from the side to unhide the nav buttons, I didn't know this, then pressing home, you just... that haptic hidden home button is always active underneath the screen, whether you can see that button or not. Right. He says it saves a few precious seconds, so I thought I'd share.
If only we'd caught that live. That was great. Do it again, Flo.
That's it? Oh, my God. I've been doing it wrong this entire time. I even reviewed the phone.
You see, now, there's a question. Is that a design flaw?
Who knew it was on under
right,
there?
That's what I mean.
Think it's asleep.
That's what I mean.
So I would, turn it on. I'd be like, swipe, swipe, swipe. Come on, why aren't you doing the pattern unlock?
Well, right. But you knew about the haptic button under it.
Well, I knew about that, but like I didn't realize it was
constantly
perpetually waiting for me to touch it.
I don't know if it's a design flaw necessarily. I get the feeling that Samsung bakes so many different things into their phones. Almost like when you have a Samsung
flaw,
phone,
like an awareness
flaw. You discover things at your own speed,
which is very true, Jason. They do. They bundle a lot of little things. Like even when I was recording video with this phone on vacation, I didn't realize I could do all of the editing right there in the interface. I didn't even have to download it. I was doing an airplane mode.
Yeah.
It's all built in.
It is a little frustrating. I don't know if you guys, maybe it's just me, but instead of having delight when I discover these features, I just feel irritated. It's like, well, that's stupid. Like, why didn't you tell me that the first time? Like, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. I hate when apps make me feel like I've been doing it wrong.
Now I get what you're saying completely. At the same time, there's the other side of it where you get nagged to death on every little thing you do, and Samsung is definitely guilty of that because they have so many little software functions built in that they want to make it aware. They want to make you aware of them the first time you open or the first time you go to this screen or whatever.
Like Bixby.
And so it's like you try and jump in. Yes, like Bixby, for example. Every time I open up the camera, I get this little handy little bubble that says Bixby is active. And I have to tap it to make it disappear. It's like, I know already. Yeah. The little
I'm trying to shoot my children. I don't care about Bixby right now.
Just go away and stop bugging me.
Well, what's funny though is that that's also like similarly. So like, you know, I've been enjoying my new life with my new TV, my Vizio SmartCast TV. And I swear to God, if I open another app that tells me you can cast from this app, and you know, and like the onboard, and the thing is, I've been involved in app design, I've been involved in product development, I understand onboarding. I mean, Kevin, you're probably nodding and laughing. You probably understand it too. Like you wanna tell the user all the features it can do, but like Netflix, you don't need to tell me I had a Chromecast. Like I know how to do that, right? And it's like, and nothing gets me more annoyed than when you get interrupted with that to tell you about some feature. But then if they don't do that, you never find out.
Thing is, I just want there to be. See, the reader questions are good, by the way, because they get us like
just riled up.
But I want there to be an option because what Ron's talking about with the casting—that's a really important thing, I think, for like my parents to have because they're so invested in their Fire Stick and they want to know what they can do with it. And so it would help to have apps tell them, "Hey, you can use me this way."
Whoa,
you know.
Do they say that's sultry?
I mean,
you know, if you touch,
you're selling a product, Ron.
Here, I like seductive apps,
and I cannot lie. I just wish there was, you know, instead of maybe in addition to an easy home, which by the way, I have seen grandmas out there in the wild using it. So let the grandmas have their easy home. There should also be a novice button and an expert button. Like in a video game.
Or maybe Google's AI analyzes how you use your phone over time and rates
that's
you.
That's Bixby's job, Jason.
Okay.
To analyze how you use your phone.
Great. Sign me up. All right, you got the next email.
Yes, and still talking about the GS8. Well, actually, we're just talking about Samsung here.
Yeah.
This one is from Declan from Australia. From down under, mate.
Oh, please don't. Oh wow!
I'm sorry. I know we have a lot of Australian viewers, and
that's not even why.
We don't
that's
anymore.
That's not even why.
we don't anymore.
I just
for everyone's sake.
Sorry about that.
You were going with the flow. We get it, Flo.
I have a Samsung S7 Edge. Whenever I go to use it underwater or take photos in the water, it plays around with the screen and the camera settings, so I don't get the best shots. Do you know of any app or a way I can disable the screen so the water doesn't select things on the screen? I currently try to use the volume button to record or take a photo. So, course.
Have you ever taken like your Samsung Galaxy phone that is rated for water resistance underwater and tried to take a picture of under there? I always forget that you can do that.
Well,
so I never have done it.
I guess you missed the Twitter thread where I talked about my shower phone, which happens to be a Samsung product.
Okay.
So I do.
Okay, so I do.
Yes.
Do you have a hard time taking pictures at that point? Because it seems to like wreak havoc with the touchscreen, right?
I haven't taken the phone to the beach, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
So I don't actually know. But I do know that when I test the phones for the initial review period, I put them under the faucet, and the faucet, you know, does a little, it's like little fingers pulsating.
So it's like touching.
It reminds me, like just the other day, I was walking through Manhattan and it was raining and it was drizzling and I was trying to do stuff on my phone and the raindrops were hitting things.
Raindrops keep dropping on my phone. That's what it really is.
That's the song.
That was good.
So there's kind of a way. So first of all, maybe don't use the apps that disable the touchscreen, because if you do that, then you can't actually use the volume rocker to take a photo.
Which I imagine would be the only way that you could actually take a photo underwater is with the volume rocker, because the screen is kind of...
So what I do... Okay, so there's two things you can do, which are really finicky, but c'est la vie. You're only supposed to be with this thing less than half an hour underwater anyway. What I try to do is move really fast. So you double press the quick launch key, the home button, and then you just immediately snap your photo.
Just go
underwater. Just go underwater. Just go.
And it might not work the first five times, but the sixth time, it might work.
Just try and like move really fast, okay? So that's one way to do it. The second way is to set the timer for 5 seconds.
Before you go in and then go under.
Yeah. So maybe just take it snorkeling instead of scuba diving.
I'm thinking maybe it's just not meant to do that. Like,
it's not. The whole point of the water resistance is so that, you know, you can check Twitter in the pool real quick or whatever.
Or in the toilet,
watch
not gonna die,
Housewives in the shower, away from the faucet. Yeah. But
all right,
there you go, Declan.
Cool. Sorry.
All right, we got another email. Lynn Nguyen writes in and says, "On Google Home and multi-user support, does anyone have Harmony working? My boss enabled multi-user, now only he can control Harmony," and I assume he means the Logitech Harmony kind of integration. "On my side, sometimes it fails to trigger lighting, a Wemo switch so far, when it's not me being the main account. It fails with the don't have permission, not exact wording. And I've noticed it being somewhat picky with voice detection. Good for security, I guess, but less useful on home. Also, my whole thing with multi-user was I was banking it would be tied to allowing events and reminder creation. With Google Keep getting blown up, I'm starting to think that I should have just went with Alexa, though natural language detection has been worlds better with home." So, unfortunately, I still have not set up multi-user because my significant other was on the road, and now I'm on the road, and so we haven't been able to set it up. But I'm not surprised to hear this, that they haven't worked the kinks out with multi-user, the idea being that all users can access control. Like, so I use Samsung SmartThings, to control the lighting. Okay, G, turn on all the lights. And so I haven't had a chance to experiment with how to exist multi-user, but I'm not surprised to hear that it's tied to the main account for a security purpose. That is silly, and it would be nice to get a little more kind of control. Have you had a chance to set up the Google Home with the multi-user?
I know Phil did it
after the show last week and said that it worked.
I've set up my side of multi-user. I've not set up my wife. But that's important, I think, to the extent that when I give commands now, half the time it says, "Hi, Jason," blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
The other half the time it just says, "Hi," blah, 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 and gives me a very basic response.
Oh, my
response.
Gosh. That's like when you like see a person and you know their face, but you forget their name. And you're trying to play that.
Hey, it didn't recognize my voice. So it's not recognizing my voice 100% of the time.
Well, no, but I've also noticed that it is, they're changing a lot of, they're introducing more responses. So like in the morning, we haven't set up multi-user, but I went in and changed the name to say both of our names. So in the mornings we say, "Okay, G, good morning," and it says, "Good morning," blah, blah, you know, and like, but it's been changing those reactions, and it's been changing to different, like, "Okay, sure, I'll do that for you," you know, like, so I wonder if that's a part of it, if there's ones that don't use the name versus do use the name versus not recognizing. I don't know.
Maybe, but I mean, even when it does that, it doesn't give me any of my like calendar stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a matter of Yeah. Like, it just didn't catch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My whole thing is that it's probably early. They're going to work out the kinks.
Yeah.
Someone has encountered this as well. Also, when you're talking about home automation and home stuff like Harmony and like Wemo and like smart things, I wonder if there's stuff that those providers need to do in order to enable multi-user support as well and work with the APK. So it might be a matter of Logitech having to update Harmony or Wemo having to update their things, you know. So it's an adventure, and you're on the bleeding edge. You're a
so
what's the term? What's the my plane when the
cutting.
The first, I want to say first responder, but that's wrong. Early adopter.
Early adopter.
There we go. There it is.
Right. I blame getting up at 5 in the morning in New York.
So. Fair enough. Kevin, have we convinced you to get a Google Home yet?
Yeah, let's get one.
All right.
Again, it's on sale for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Just an FYI.
We're very pro.
For myself.
We're
for
very
myself,
pro really. On the Google Home. We really are.
Yeah.
Not so much on the
I missed Echo. My Google Home. And so when I come home, I missed you. I tell it. And it goes,
oh, what does it say?
It says it misses me, you know. Oh. I do. It's like, love it.
What is the number one thing you use it for? It's like, we had the Amazon Echo, and all it is my girlfriend just yells at it to ask what the weather is 4 times in a row.
I will say that the majority of use is, hey, what's the weather like? I use the morning news. Like, we say good morning. It says the weather. It hits my calendar, and then it goes through the news, which is cool. Tech News Today is on there.
Yeah.
Which is also very funny, because last time I was on Tech News Today, the next morning, we went through the whole news thing, and I got to Tech News Today, and you introduced me, and my girlfriend went, really? Are we listening to you on this? Like, she's like, this is, I didn't plan this. This is not my fault. I use it as a speaker for music, like say, hey, play Hamilton, and it does it. I'm using it for home automation, you know, turn on the lights, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I want to dive in and do more with IFTT and set up more stuff like that, but I'm busy, but someday. You know?
All right, I'm convinced.
All right, cool.
It's cool the more you set up things to it to control. Yeah. Like, you know, we have our Hue lights. Now we have 5 Hue lights throughout the house. And it's actually really cool to be able to, like, turn the lights on upstairs from the kitchen.
What I haven't done, now that I've got Chromecast back in the mix, I haven't been like, okay, G, play Iron Fist on Netflix and have it turn the TV on and do that. It can do that. I just haven't done it. So
I use mine to track my husband.
Oh.
Which is weird.
I set up an...
tell me where he is.
All it does is I go, okay, G, where is Eric? And it sends him a text message, where are you? That's it.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't have my phone. I want to know where the heck my husband is, and I want to hear like an alert to know that he's alive. Please, God. I just ask it to do that.
That's kind of handy.
I just been programming silly little things and jokes. I program jokes in it.
Yeah,
I do.
They have Pixar writers doing the jokes. So, yeah.
All right. Hey, let's blast through the rest of this. We still have to get to the arena. But before we do that, we need to thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Bitbucket. Your code is your world. We have a lot of developers that follow this show. So you know what I'm talking about. You create it. You tweak it. You obsess over it, lovingly, of course, every single day. So picking the right repository management tool is super important to you. Only the best for your code. That's why the team at Atlassian created Bitbucket. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. It helps over 5 million developers build with a purpose. Bitbucket gives teams of all sizes free private repositories with state-of-the-art features. Some of those features include the world's best pull request algorithm. Pull requests facilitate code reviews, of course. Collaborate right in the code with inline comments, threaded conversations and mentions, built-in continuous delivery, branch permissions that actually help prevent errors by controlling the actions users can perform. You can get granular permissions at the project, repository, or branch level. Integrations with your favorite tools like Docker, AWS, and Azure. And because Bitbucket comes from Atlassian, it offers the best Jira integration available. That gives your team everything you need to take your code from concept to customer. And we use it here at Twit. Absolutely love it. More than 900,000 teams love Bitbucket, used by companies like Ford, PayPal, Starbucks, and Pandora, just to name a few. It's the only collaborative Git solution that massively scales. Bitbucket is for the code that takes us to Mars, decodes the human genome, or drives your next car, because you know it's going to drive your next car. Visit bitbucket.org/forthecode to start your free account.
That's bitbucket.org/for the code. Try Bitbucket today and find out what your code can do. And we thank Bitbucket for their support. All right, without further ado, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
I will say before we get to the arena, I just remembered one thing. I do use the Google Home for, or I used to use the for cooking timers. Like I put some in the oven. But, but the problem is that the dang alarm sound my dog hates. And so now I stopped using it because she starts whimpering because of the sound.
Aww.
And so I'm waiting for them to change, for you to be able to change it to like a nice kind of, you know, something else. But yeah, so.
Cats meowing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
that would work. That would
All right. Sorry. On to the arena.
All right. Last week's poll. Let's check in on it really quick.
I love it.
I've been gone.
It appears. Is it what? Really?
Yeah. Look at that.
Tap log wins of 45.1%. I did not see that coming.
What was it? And why are you?
Scroll back up, Brian. There you go. So,
there we go. Taplog, 45.1%. It's a way to log many different things easily. So you could like create a little widget on your home screen and be like,
watch,
I want to log.
Watch last week's show.
Yeah. Want to log. You can see
a demo. I just got back last night. Give me a second, guys.
All right. You were gone last week. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Right. I missed.
So, So I came in last. So with that, with the ranking, so what? So who had Taplog last?
So Taplog was me.
So Jason gets the win, and our guest gets second, Package Disabler Pro, and then I came in last with Flick Launcher. So that means the arena standings as they exist now, thanks to Wade County in the chat room. Jason and I are tied for first with 48 points.
No way!
Remember, you were in the basement. Happened? You were in the basement like 3 weeks ago.
Craziness.
Guests have got 43 points, and Flo, you're in last with 41 points.
I was out.
But you're out, too far. So now's your chance. We got great. Kevin's here representing the guests. We got four apps. So I'll kick things off since I came in last week.
Right.
And I know a lot of us have Google Voice, but Google Voice has some limitations. And if you're doing things online, like Airbnb or shopping on Craigslist or dating, any of those sort of things, sometimes you don't want to give out your phone number, right? But so much stuff goes through your phone. If you don't have a Google Voice account or if you don't want to be limited to just one number, this app called Burner could be of use to you.
Mm.
There you go. So here it is. So opening up Burner, what it allows you to do is to create basically a temporary phone number. All right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to create a Burner. And so now what they've got is they've got a bunch of series. It's a free app, but they do have a paid plan that gives you various things. You can purchase credits that give you whether you want to be able to make calls with your phone number or send texts, MMS, all the various things you can do. Those are based on their credits. So I've got zero credits in here, but for 8 credits, you could get unlimited texts, but no pictures, unlimited minutes though, and the phone number will die in 30 days. You can get the standard plan for 5 credits. Sorry, 5 credits. I'm a little out of practice being in studio. You can get 150 texts, no pictures, 50 minutes, and the number will burn in 30 days. If you only want a text, you can get one for that. And the thing is, they're not that expensive. If we go here and we go to add credits, you could pick up 3 credits for just $1.99, right? So I'm just going to do that now so we can see what this whole process looks like, right?
All right, it says, cool. There you go.
All right, so I've got some credits in here.
All right. Some credits, got a little reflection.
All right, so I've got 3 credits. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a burner number, and I'm going to use the mini burner, right, which is going to give me 60 texts, no pictures, 20 minutes of talk time, and it will burn in 14 days. So I'm going to buy that. All right, so now I call it what I want to call it, so let's call it Airbnb because, if I'm going to Airbnb in. And you can choose your area code. So if you want to say where you're from, like I want to pretend I'm from San Francisco, so I'll do that. And then it'll find you a bunch of numbers, and you could choose whatever number you want. I'm just going to grab a random one, and I'm going to say okay. And so now it's created this burner phone number. And so now what I could do is I could talk for up to 20 minutes through it. I could send 60 texts, and it will die in 30 days. You can extend it if it's a number that you want to keep on using. And what's really cool is that this has got connections to a bunch of different apps. So you can connect it to Evernote so that every SMS gets saved in Evernote. Now everyone's calling me.
Of course.
Ha ha, everyone.
Knew this was going to be
very funny.
Jokes on you, though. If you call, everybody sees your phone number.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, everyone. You can connect to Dropbox. You can connect to Slack. You can connect to Google, SoundCloud, a whole bunch of different things. And then basically you can use this number. And then when you're done with it, everyone who wants to try calling, you just hit burn it. And it will just get rid of the number. And now that number is dead.
Bye.
Ha-ha. So.
That one person.
Yep. So, good job on the audience. I'm glad that everybody picked up on that. But yeah, so now that helps you if you want to, like if you're shopping on Craigslist for furniture. I was selling some stuff before I moved to San Francisco. And you don't want to give out your phone number. So this is a good way to kind of protect yourself. Some people like to use it for dating. I haven't. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that. I wonder about the conversation when you decide to go exclusive with someone.
Here's
be
my
like,
actual
be
phone
like,
number.
Oh, actually, that's not my real one, you know?
Well, so, actually. Yeah,
I changed my number.
In this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anything's fair game.
So, yeah. So, right. Burner. For just a couple of dollars, you get a free. When you download and install the app, you do get a free number to start with. I'd already played with it. That's why I had to spend $1.99 to get a new one. But you can get multiple numbers. It's a pretty handy tool. It's a little more powerful than Google Voice. So you
made no The Wire references.
What?
The Wire.
Oh, I haven't watched The Wire.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting that you can, that they, I know it's supposed to be good. Whatever. It's on my list. But the fact that they've got all these integrations to Dropbox, Evernote, Slack, all this sort of stuff, you know, you can back up all your things. Like it's really a powerful app.
It sounds like
app.
a police helper app. Like we need to have this conversation with this person and we need to make sure it's documented.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
it's empowering.
I encourage everyone to use this for good, not to use it for bad. Use it to protect yourself when shopping on Craigslist or doing things, you know, with strangers, but. Up to you how you want to use it. So there you go. Burner, free phone number, free in the Google Play Store.
We're all adults here.
Yep.
Burner, free phone number. Check it out. All right, Flo, you're up next.
I am up next.
You are.
So I've been looking for new ways to get creative in my life that don't involve Pokemon the card game online. Because when you think about it, that's really not that creative making. It's just me plugging away to get all new different cards and packs. Anyway, that's not my app today. My app today is Btonal. Oh, you know what? Darn diddly. I don't have a cord to plug in.
Audio.
So you can make a little melody.
Oh, can you turn the speaker
You know
up?
What? I'll turn the speaker way up. I made a little melody today. So what this is for free, you can play with this fun little app that lets you make little melodic, how would you call them music people? Melodic electronic melodies. Electronic melodies, okay? You want to make yourself a little sound maybe for your podcasts that you're trying to like get up off the ground, or maybe you want to make a ringtone for when your mom calls. You can use this app. So here's the song I made today. So by the way, if you want to unlock this and be able to record your songs, you are going to have to pay $2. So, but you know what? It's kind of fun to do. So here's the song I made today. There we go. So I loaded this demo track, and what I can do is I can control different elements of the music, including the drums, the bass, the chords in the background, and any like lead melodies. I'm not a musician, so I apologize in advance for the way that I describe these things, but I'm just kind of playing around. So let's say you want to completely start over. You can start Xing stuff out, and it's as easy as going into the section and tapping on different... Ah, where was I in the bass? Tapping on the different... Hold on. Sorry. So, when you are recording... So, we're recording right now, okay? So, we're gonna... Let's just make a new one. So, you don't even have to know how to make music to make things on here, because what you can do is you can mix them up. So, like randomize it. So down here you'll see these patterns. You can just click them to change them. It'll change the length of some of the sounds and the chords that it's hitting. And this is all recording right now. So when I'm done. All right, so that's all recorded.
Aw, oh, crap. I forgot to save it. Anyway, you can make a little...
Yeah, it's a sequencer.
Anyway, it's a sequencer. That's what it's called? A sequencer? Okay, guys, it's called a sequencer, and that's what it is. It's B-tonal, and it's supposed to be kind of A-tonal, by the way. That's why it sounds kind of funny. And I found this because I went down a vaporwave hole. And that's how I found this, because I love vaporwave.
I can make that music.
I love vaporwave and just weird electronic. I love electronic music. So I found this, and I don't know. I guess I'm going to try and make my own melodies. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I just thought it would be fun to be creative.
It is fun to be creative.
And it's only $2, so
I love it. It's called B-tonal, all one word. B-tonal, it's free version.
Also $1.99 to upgrade.
And to be able to save the sequences. Yeah. Yes.
Export it out. Cool. Nice. I had not heard of that one. And I try and stay kind of open.
I know. I was like, this sounds like a Jason app.
It really does. Yeah. I saw it earlier. I was like, whoa.
All right. Kevin, I have your app installed. Tell us a little bit about it.
Great. So on the theme of doing things now that I'm an adult and I do more adult things, I've gotten more into credit card hacking and like getting points and like collecting all sorts of credit cards. And as part of this, these credit cards, a lot of them come with these benefits of giving you access to airport lounges, but only kind of specific airport lounges. And so Lounge Buddy is an app that you let it know what credit cards you have and what lounge passes you have. And it will tell you what lounges you can access in different airports all over the world for free or for like a fee and things like that. So for example, here in San Francisco, there's an American Express lounge. And it will tell you like where the lounge is. Or I was just in Amsterdam and it told me, I would have no idea that it was there, but there's a lounge like right inside of security that one of my credit cards gives me access to that I would have no idea that I'd be able to get into without this app telling me. And so it kind of has ratings and reviews and tells you if you can bring guests or not. So I found it really, really fun now that like I have a few more credit cards to see which airport lounges I can get in all over the world. I use it almost every trip now.
Yeah, I've seen this app before. I played around with it a little bit, but I've never actually tested it.
It's a pretty old app, I think. And actually, I don't actually find it. It's a little clunky and it's a little slow. So if the developer's listening, I would love to chat about how we can speed it up. But the data is really valuable. And so, like, it's been on every phone I've had now for the last year.
Nice. That's cool. And, I mean, you have these cards. They have, some of them have perks. You might not even know that they have perks. So you just plug it in here. And then when you're traveling, it just lets you know if those perks extend to the place that you're going. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really great.
Nice. That is called Lounge Buddy. And it is free. You can install it, throw your credit cards in there, and see what it gets you.
It's important to know. It doesn't ask for, like, your credit card info. It just says, like, what's the name of your credit card. It's like American Express or something.
Right. Awesome.
Steve.
I call my credit card Steve.
Ooh, a Steve Sanders card?
Yeah, maybe. Did you see his tweet the other day, by the way? Oh, sorry, we'll talk offline.
No.
All right, mine is a game.
Instagram, Insta post.
I'll do this one here real quick. I'm a fan of golf games. I'm not a very good golfer, but I like golf video games sometimes. Sometimes they're fun. I haven't played them actually in years, to be honest. But when I saw this game called Golf Zero, it's like a golf game.
I see speedrun. So.
Yeah, it's part golf game, part platformer, part puzzle game. Really kind of hard to explain. So instead, I'll just kind of show you how it goes. We'll go to level 8. Sure, why not? So with this game, and this is one of those moments where I realize how hard it is to play a game and talk about it when I'm at an angle here, so my apologies. I can move my little guy left and right, and then when I jump, I can slide down the wall. But basically what I'm trying to do, I'm going to drag it out here, is over here is it's way up there. It's really hard for me to show it, but there is a flag up there with a hole in it, and I'm trying to get the ball into there, and I have to do a combination of things in order to get it. And actually, I'm not going to do this level because this level is too hard for me to talk and do it, so let me do an easier one. So there's the flag, right? And you know, you can see up in the sky there's a balloon out there. So if I have three shots, once I start taking these shots, I might choose to shoot one at that balloon and get the bonus, and then the other two to try and get it into the hole. So let's see if I can get here. I don't want to touch those. Those are spikes. They kill me. So I'll go out here. And then now you see time slows down. And I start to kind of line up my shots while I'm up there. And see, I got it in. Yay, I win.
Wait a minute, you're golfing? Like what? Like
it's like suicide golf.
It's like golf mixed with the Matrix when time slows down.
I have to get it in.
So here's another level. I'll go ahead and jump. And then time slows down. I have to like throw those golf balls up there. Didn't quite make it. Have to do it over again.
Wow.
Like I said, you could also choose to shoot. And yeah.
This ain't Tiger Woods' here. Golf.
Okay. Hey, I got the balloon and I got it in the flag. There you go. It's a fun little game to kill some time.
I love that everybody's golf clapping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As they should.
You know, it has all the trappings of a nice golf game, except it's not at all like actual golf. 80 normal levels. Jump, slide, bounce around, get the ball in the hole. That's really the point of the game. And it's just a nice time killer. It's called Golf Zero. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Keep it coming.
I like the graphics. They're super cute.
Yeah. It's got a cute bubbly quality to it. That is Golf Zero. All right. Without further ado, you can head over to bit.ly/AAApoll316. bit.ly/AAApoll316 and place your vote for your favorite. Is it Burner? Is it B-Tonal? Is it Lounge Buddy or Golf Zero? Apps this week.
What is Brian going to vote for?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Burner. Of course.
Ooh, Brian, that's shady.
Brian.
What are you going to do with that number, Brian? Who are you going to call?
Probably going to call Ron at some point. Trolling.
Awesome stuff. Kevin, I'm super sorry that we kept you longer than we said we were going to. We have a bad habit of that. Kevin Grant, prefer.com, at KevinGrant5 on Twitter. Hey, it's great having you on. Let's get you back a lot sooner than the amount of time it took us between last year and now.
Another 3 years? Is that fine?
No. Next time you're in the area, because it sounds like you have different offices, one in New York and in the Bay Area. If you'd like to come up, we'd love to have you here in
studio.
Please.
Yeah, let's make it happen. I'm out here every 6 or 8 weeks, so let's do it.
Cool. Let's do it. Cool. What do you want people to know? Final parting words of wisdom.
Prefer.com, if you're in New York, check it out. If you're not in New York, let us know if you think this would work really well in your neighborhood or your city, because we're always trying to figure out what would be the next great launch city.
Right on. Cool. Excellent.
I'm looking forward to using it as a proud New Yorker.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll check in on it with Ron and see how it goes for him. Prefer.com. Thank you again, Kevin.
Yeah.
What about you, Ron?
Well, I hope you enjoy my return.
I hope you enjoy
to Petaluma.
Wasn't I awesome?
Wasn't I great? I'm here. No, but I'll be back. Just one time only. I'm heading back to New York later this week. But in the meantime, I gave you guys a homework assignment last week. Yesterday, my other podcast, DamnFinePodcast.com, came out featuring one special guest, Mr. Brian Burnett, who appeared on the show.
It was a lot of fun.
So I'm expecting everybody in the chat room listened. Everybody in the audience listened. I would like to hear reviews of Brian. Maybe after the show, you can let us know what you thought of. But you can go listen to Brian talking about Twin Peaks with me and Tom Merritt at DamnFinePodcast.com. It was a great time. Brian did great as a guest.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome.
You did A-okay as well.
Excellent. And then there's the thumbs up. And then my other podcast over at ifanboy.com, where we're talking about comic books every week, and we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It's probably going to be out this weekend or early next week. So if you're into some of the Marvel movie talk, we'll be breaking it down. So go to ifanboy.com and follow me on Twitter at RonXO.
Nice. Great having you out here.
It's great to be back.
And I'm hungry. Let's get dinner.
Me too.
Flo, what about you?
Well, I'm still unpacking all the pictures from my trip, but they will be on AndroidCentral.com because I'm going to be comparing.
Well, that's right.
I'm going to be comparing the pictures I took between the Pixel and the GS8.
Nice.
So, you want to see some pretty pictures of Iceland, stay tuned. But for everything else, of course, follow me on Snapchat and Twitter at OThatFlow and my writings at AndroidCentral.com.
Excellent. We will do that. Good to have you back. Brian, I know what you're going to say. I was on this show with Ron Richards. Yeah,
you can follow me on Twitter if you want to find the link.
Listen, I was very excited. Yeah. I was very excited.
It was fun. It was good to talk to Tom again too, and I haven't seen that guy in a while. But thanks for having me on that show.
It was great.
download that episode. Yes, just please. That episode. Hey, what's going on back there? What are you trying to say, Kevin? I'm just kidding. Here, I'll mute you. But yeah, I sometimes go on other podcasts, just Ron's. And then I do a show with Padre, Know How, on Thursdays. Maybe we'll get our hands on one of those Android boards.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to see what you guys would do with that.
Before we move on, can we clarify the lighting and we see Brian? Is this because I returned or is this a new...
This is because you're in studio. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure that you see his face.
Okay, there you go.
Do you remember me, Ron? What about you, Jason?
Thank you, Brian. You can find me at jasonhowell.com or yellowgoldmusic.com works as well. But that's really about it. Thanks for watching, as always, or listening. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv, and we'll play them or read them on the show. Twitter, we are at Android Show. Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. You can find show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find all of our past episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, wherever you find podcasts. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting sometime around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's the important part. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.